Open up Genesis chapter 4 with me, if you will. Over the last 2 months, and this is probably the last sermon of this series, we've looked at a series called It Was Good, focusing on the perfect, holy creation of God. That God made all the universe, the heavens and the earth. And then God created man in his own image and gave man life by his own breath. Gave man a wife as his helpmeet, and placed him in this perfect garden, a holy place, with all the safety and provision they could have. And they had direct fellowship with God himself. However, we also saw that Adam and Eve had to make a choice. Believe the liar, the enemy, the sly snake that we know as Satan, or to have faith in God's word and appreciate his blessings. And they chose to listen to the enemy's deceit. And the curse of sin began and was placed upon them. And something that stood true then and still stands true today for you and I is that you can choose your actions, but you cannot choose your consequences. I've quoted this before. Richard Taylor, a friend from my former church, said at one time, it stuck out. He said, life is full of little choices. The good news is you get to make them. The bad news is you have to live with them. And the hard thing that we have to face is we don't choose the repercussions of our actions. Nor do we choose when the repercussions end. Nor do we choose how far they reach and who they affect. But because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, they got to be deal with the curse of sin, not understanding exactly how far reaching it will be. And we'll see today how tough it is. Last week we saw they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And a reminder, if you're not here, I always challenge you. The previous week is still on Facebook. I also put it on the website. Just a way to kind of keep up, because we do feed off each other. But the two sons, they've already seen the effect of sin in them in what we saw last week. And Abel offered God a good sacrifice. He did it just as God had taught Adam and Eve in the garden, by shedding the blood of an animal, representing the coming Savior, the Messiah that would come and die for us. God honored and accepted this gift, this sacrifice, this worship. The other son's name is Cain. He too offered a sacrifice, but he chose to do it his own way. He offered vegetables from that cursed ground. But God did not respect or accept this offering. We saw last week, God does not accept all worship. He only accepts worship the way he calls for it. When it reflects his nature and his person. God warned Cain after this bad sacrifice that if you do right, I accept it. But if you don't, he said in verse 7, he said, sin lieth at the door. He says, you're going to fall into more sin, into deeper sin. Because Satan's goal is not just to cause sin in your life. He's not just speaking to Cain here. He has spoken this to you and I. Satan's desire is not to just cause sin in your life. His ultimate goal is told to us in 1 Peter 5:8. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's not just trying to make you say a potty mouth word. He's not trying to make you look inappropriately at somebody. He's just trying to get you closer and closer to destruction. That's his ultimate goal. If you play with sin, his ultimate goal is not to please you, but to destroy you. See, God's warning to Cain is the same for you and I. When we try to hide and justify or ignore our sin, we simply fall into more sin. Sin will take control of us, stealing our joy of the Lord, stealing the peace of God, and it'll affect those that we love as well. So parents, that's been the hard part of this part of the sermon. to see our effect on our children. How our actions affect them deeply. Watch how Adam and Eve sinned there in Genesis chapter 4. I hope you've opened up there. How Adam and Eve's sin affected their sons, who also had a choice. Look at Genesis 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your call to us. The call of repentance, of confession, of recognition of who we are, and allowing us to turn from our sin unto you. I ask that your word would speak to us, that your spirit would bring conviction where that is needed. And Lord, that we would be bold to be obedient to your call. We love you, Lord. I thank you for loving us first. I thank you for your son, Jesus, dying on a cross to cover the sin of those who believe and turn to you. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage, you may be familiar with the story. But I hope as we look at the story, we can apply it to our own lives and be challenged by it. Because the first thing I see here is jealousy grows. When we allow jealousy as a part of our lives, or for that matter, anger as a part of our life, it does nothing but continue to grow. You notice in verse 8, it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Sounds so simple. They were having a conversation. And here we have Cain, who is angry with God, has ignored God's advice. He's jealous of his brother's sacrifice. Remembering last week, that his brother's sacrifice was honored by God, and yet God rejected Cain, and now he's talking to his brother, having a conversation, and we don't know what the conversation entailed. What we can probably imagine is a jealous man looks at the man he's jealous of. Maybe Cain shared that God rejected his offering. Imagine that conversation. The awkwardness, the weirdness, and maybe Abel gave advice, making jealousy even worse. You understand that when you're jealous of someone and they give you advice, what do you want to do? You want to pull a cane on them? Yeah? You see, here that's what happened. Tommy, maybe Abel gave him advice, and maybe even worse, Abel offered an animal. He said, hey, I'll help you do what's right. And remember, Cain tilled the ground. Abel had the animals. He took care of the animals. So Abel probably said, hey, I've got a really beautiful one there that's clean. It's got no defects. You can use it. And the jealousy of who do you think you are just caused more anger. You think your animals are better than my veggies? Now, if you vote, I'd say yes. Anybody with me? Okay. Now you keep your broccoli.
Amen.
Amen. Heard the best cooked broccoli is where you cook it up real carefully. You put butter on it and a little cheese, and you throw it in the trash can. That's the best broccoli.
Good place for peas.
But see here. Abel's trying to help him because he knows that the shedding of blood is needed for a true sacrifice. And jealousy and anger always comes in weird forms. Notice, or Ben, maybe you're guilty of it. Jealous of someone's position, someone they get to work, a title they get to carry. Why him? Who do he think he is? I'd be better. Easy how that can sneak into our lives. Jealous of someone's success and popularity. Well, they don't deserve it. They didn't do nothing special. Cain's reason for jealousy is actually very popular. What was his jealousy for? Listen to what Jesus said in John 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Catch that? Often the anger and jealousy built up is towards righteous people, people that are living right, people that are worshiping right, people that are loving the Lord right, people that are serving in the name of Jesus. Because when we're in sin, we become convicted by the faithfulness of others. When I want to live in darkness, I hate your light. I don't want your light to expose my darkness. And so easy for anger and jealousy to start building up. Well, they really think there's something. Well, they ain't all that. When in sin we get angry with those who are living holy lives and they're enjoying fellowship with God, having deep worship, they have no clue you're upset. They have no clue what you're going through. They have no clue you're hurt. They're focused on the Lord. But Satan gets in your ear. Look at them. That makes you think, oh, they're laughing at you. They're mocking you. They're showing you up. And jealousy grows. And we try to find fault in them. Oh, yeah, they're not that sincere. They don't really mean it. Oh, you know what they do at home. Guess what? That's exactly what Satan does. Revelation 12:10 calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. If that's you, be careful, because to start pointing out at others and being jealous of others is exactly what Satan does. He starts bringing up accusations. Well, they're not really that holy. They don't mean it. They don't live it. Jealousy gets a hold of us, and it rots our soul. We see this in Cain. He's mad because his brother honored God. He's mad because his brother obeyed God, did it God's way. He's mad because his brother gave God what God wanted and what God asked for. Cain hasn't even received punishment yet. We haven't seen anything bad happen to Cain. We've seen God tell Cain, if you do what's right, I'll honor it. But Cain wanted to do it his own way. Pride was dwelt in him, building up in him. And that jealousy of, well, I'm better than him, was hurting him. Jealousy and anger will place you in danger of more sin. That's what God told Cain. He said, watch out, it's hiding at the door. It's waiting for you. Because the issue you're dealing with is only a foothold for Satan, only a way for Satan to control you. When you get angry, jealous of something, it's just Satan's putting his foot in the doorway, trying to get into your life. That's why God tells us in Ephesians 4:26, says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That verse tells him, listen, when sin gets into your life, you deal with it quickly, or it's just going to fester and get worse. In other words, it doesn't always mean confront someone else. Sometimes it means confront yourself.
Can I get an amen?
You're not with meds yet, are you? Good, because I'm just getting started. And see, when you let Satan have an ounce of control in your life, he takes 1 ounce at a time. Just a little bit. Just a little bit more. Until he has all of you, all control of you. You know why marriages crumble? Starts with the little things. Getting ignored. Getting pushed away. And instead of dealing with it quickly, what do? We start blaming the other. Well, it's his fault. It's her fault. He did this. He did it. And then we start justifying our own sins. On based on what they, well, since they did it, I can do this. Well, if he's going to be that way, I can do this. Well, he bought something. I'm going to buy more. He's looking at porn. I can sleep around. His sin doesn't justify your sin. Her sin doesn't justify your sin. But it starts out small, and it starts to grow, and it festers within us. And here's the thing. The one that causes the jealousy in us, he's also going to give you an opportunity to start feeling better about yourself. He'll give you somewhere to express how you feel. He's going to give you someone that likes to hear gossip. Now, let me tell you this. If you listen to gossip, you're as bad of a gossip as a gossiper. Gossip doesn't mean it's false. Gossip just means you don't need to know it. And none of your beeswax. Wives, don't be talking to nobody and dogging your husband. Husband, don't be dogging your wife. She's not your ball and chain. She's your blessing. Wives, your husband is your blessing. That wasn't even a funny part, man. Charlie will miss the joke, but he'll enjoy those.
That's what I'm doing.
She just reminded me, she's your blessing.
But, I just said, oh my.
Oh. Your blessing is what you're saying. You see, Satan will start to give someone, they'll give you an ear, and you start listening, you start talking about stuff you don't need to be talking about. Oh, well, I've got to let it out. No! Couple things. Number one, you don't need to let it out anywhere that's not going to help you. Someone that's going to counsel, give you biblical advice. Not someone that claims to be a believer, but someone who loves the Lord and knows the Word of God. He's going to direct you, not make you feel good, but direct you in the right direction. Also, did you ever notice that when we talk about our issues and our frustrations, that it does not make us feel better? It riles us up? Ever notice that? I just got to let it out, I'm going to tell you. And by the end, you're screaming about it? Remember when we used to talk about my father? And remember how he treated my mom growing up? And it would start making me mad again. And I wanted to pull a cane on my dad. And I realized talking about it only gave Satan glory as all it did. Just brought up the sin of the past. It brought up sin into my heart. You know what? Just talking about problems does not help the situation. You need to deal with the problems. Because Satan is really good at getting the problem riled up. Satan's going to give you opportunity to strike back. Yeah? How often you wanted to punch somebody? Don't answer. You see, he's going to give you an opportunity to give paybacks. And he's going to give you reason to justify and explain why your sin was okay. Why? What you did wasn't wrong. Because Satan's good at twisting everything. Remember, even in Genesis 1 or 2, when he approaches Eve, he didn't lie, he just started twisting scriptures, which is a lie. We can all take scriptures out of context. I can do all things through Christ. Watch me jump off this building and fly.
Only once.
I might bounce, but fly, I don't know. You see, we can take scripture out of context, can't we? Well, that's the job of the enemy. When we sin, we get angry with those who are living righteous because I know I should be there. And Satan will let that grow and give you excuses. See, Cain found this opportunity as Satan had given him an opportunity to strike back. And while speaking to his brother Abel, he had a plan. Look at 8, verse 8 again, about halfway through. And it came to pass, when they were out in a field, they're out nowhere. Cain's in a quiet place, out of sight, secret. No one's going to know. Satan will get you there. Satan will get you in a place and say, this is secret. This is my secret sin. I know how to clean my computer history. I know that we can meet in a secret spot. I know that how loud I can yell before my neighbors start hearing. I know how much money I can steal before somebody notices. Right? Satan can get us to that spot where we think, I'll be okay. But when we start to think this way and think that my sin is secret, Proverbs 15:3 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Jesus says this in Matthew 10:26, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. You cannot hide your sin. God knows your heart. He knows your intents. He knows your words. He knows your actions. You cannot hide from him. It don't matter what field you're in. You may be able to hide it from your wife. You may be able to hide it from your hubby. You may be able to hide it from your pastor. You may be able to hide it from your church, from your neighbors. But God is the judge, not your pastor or your wife. God will answer. God will deal with you. God knows every detail of your life. He knows every hair on your hair, head. But unrepented sin will cause more sin. And then we see that sin grows. Look at verse 8, the end of it. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Killed his own brother. Killed his own brother. Imagine this experience here. This is the first death ever. First murder in Scripture. First death in history. Cain didn't really understand what he was looking at or what he felt or really what he was doing right here. I don't think he had a plan to go out and kill him because he had never experienced death. He never thought about this. He didn't know what it looked like. He didn't open up the newspaper and say, oh, somebody killed in Chicago today. He didn't watch a movie with buildings exploding and saying, well, that's a fun movie. He didn't play video games saying, boom, 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 I shot a bunch of them. He didn't know what death looked like. He simply let his jealousy and his anger take control. And when your jealousy and anger takes control, oh my goodness, we're in trouble. Because you don't know what you're likely to do. Cain had no clue what he was doing. His anger took him farther than he planned to go. God had warned him. You know what I mean? God had warned him. But he chose not to listen. He never repented. He didn't do what was right. Understand this, God has given you and I the same warning. God has warned you. He has warned me. He has called us to repent. I want you to stop now and place yourself in a parent's shoes. Think of Adam and Eve. Because of their choice, their disobedience to God, they've exposed their kids to this sin. Parents, take heed. Take heed. You don't mean to, but you pass it down. You don't mean to, you teach it. You don't think your kids see. You don't think your kids know, but they learn from you. And here Adam and Eve and their own son Abel are experiencing God's promised repercussions. You remember that he promised them, if you eat of the tree of knowledge, that you will die. You will start the progress of death. He had promised them and they disobeyed. And they ate of the tree. And death was passed to all because of them. Adam is our fleshly father. And God's promised you and I this. Romans 5:12. You're familiar with this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because all have sinned, they also receive the wages of sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 tells this, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. God's not tricked or fooled. He'll give you what you have worked to receive. As a sinful man, you're going to receive the corruption of your flesh. The part of the dying process here is unfortunately watching your kids suffer and at times die. I don't know any parents that were ready for that. I've never parents that have gone through this and watched their kids die. It's miserable. It's hard. Put yourself in Adam and Eve's shoes for a minute here. It's because of their sin that death is passed to all men. It's because of their sin that their own son, we don't know how much later, is killed. It's because of their sin that caused their other sin, jealousy and anger, they passed down to him. None of us think that we would do this. None of us think that we could be murderers. And now let's be honest about it. We thought about it. Anybody with me? You don't want to admit that, do you? Cain didn't think he was going to be a murderer. He had a chance to stop sin. God called him to do what's right, but Cain was led by his heart instead of God's word. Catch that? Cain's problem here, he was moved by his heart, not God's word. Let me ask you, what moves you every day when you get up? Wait a minute. What moves you every day when you get up? Do you say, oh, I just look forward to getting rid of this day? Do you look in the mirror and say, Lord, I want to live for you today? You start out with a prayer, Lord, use me today. Lord, control me today. You start out by opening up God's word and saying, I need a couple verses to start out this day. Okay, get your coffee. I don't know anybody drinks that stuff.
We're missing out.
Yeah. I'm not missing out on enough stuff is my problem, you know. But if we start the day out saying, I'm going to honor God today, or I'm going to get everything I can today. And Cain here was guided by his heart instead of God's word. I'm familiar with Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, your heart is a part of your flesh. It's not your spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. And it'll make you do things that you can't believe you ever entertained in your mind. Just a poll. Anyone that can look back in your past and say, I can't believe I did that? Yeah? Okay. That was quick, though. I'm scared. That was quick. Yeah? Here's the reason. You probably followed your heart. You followed your own desire. Maybe you weren't saved yet. And when you grow in the Lord, you let the Spirit of God have control, and you submit to Him, you get to know His Word, it'll change your desires because you're no longer following your fleshly heart, you're following the Spirit of God. When you follow our heart, we get in trouble. Why? Because Jeremiah 17:9 is very clear. Your heart is deceitful and it's wicked. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. See, when you allow your heart to be entertained, it becomes filled with the things of the world, filled with sins, and it'll cause you to be controlled by sin a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time. We allow our kids to do just a little bit. Yeah, that's how it starts. Oh, well, we allow this. It's okay. You know how embezzlement starts? People leave just a little bit. And they get away with stealing a little bit. And so next time I steal a little bit more. And then I steal a little bit more. And embezzle, I steal as much money as I can. You know how adulteries happen? You're not walking down the hall and whoop, boom, all of a sudden we have adultery, right? Starts with comments that weren't even unnecessary. Giving opportunities. Sharing pictures. Sharing secrets with one another. Building an intimacy slowly, just a little at a time. And before you know it, you have a relationship that should have never been. This is how murders happen. allowing hatred to build up, that spiritual murder. Do you know how most serial killers start?
I've shared it before.
It sounds so, most serial killers start with pornography. Well, that's the little secret sin. I can play on my phone. Nobody knows. No, you can't. The Lord knows your heart. He knows what you're doing in secret. And he's telling you, listen, when you entertain a little bit of sin, it's going to get worse. Because once you become accustomed to that sin, Satan gives you just a little bit more. Just one more ounce. No, no. Oh, yeah, he already knows. And jealousy and sin grows. And what's the next step? The hardened heart. To have a hardened heart means that we no longer care, no longer try to do better, no longer fear the Lord. We no longer hold him as authority. We do as we please. Romans chapter 1 and 2 speaks a lot about the hardened heart. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but because of your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. When your heart gets hard and callous, you simply fall into more and more sin, more and more and more judgment, more and more that you have to face God and answer God for, and you refuse to repent, because the more comfortable you come to sin, the harder and more callous you become, and you won't repent of it. Cain's heart is hardened. Look at his conversation with God in verse 9. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? Did God need that information? Did God come and say, I just can't find him? You sneaky boys. I didn't seek time. No, God didn't need the information. God sees all, every detail. We don't know how long since the murder of Abel. Possibly this was at the next sacrifice that Cain was supposed to offer. But he's giving Cain a chance to confess, a chance to take responsibility, to admit his fault. God says, where's your brother, by the way? Look at Cain's heart, where he's at, verse 9 there, continues. And he, that's Cain, said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You notice the disrespect and disdain towards God? The dishonor, excuse me, my throat's falling out. If your kids mouth you like this, I hope you punish them. When your kids mouth you and show dishonor to you, you as a parent are responsible to punish them. You know why? Because the way you teach them to honor earthly authority is simply training them on how to honor their heavenly authority. You let them mouth you and treat you as you don't have authority when God has given you the leadership of the home, you are training them to tell God, mind your own business. I'll do as I want. That's why we discipline, we teach, we guide. We don't discipline them out of anger. If you're mad, send them to sit on their bed and wait for you. And you take some time to pray. You know, it's really fun. Not that I would ever do it to my son. Tell them to go lean over their bed. That you'll be in a little while. 10, 15 minutes of them is going to feel like eternity. And you gave them eternity to think about what they did and what the repercussions are about to come and do. And they're laying there and they're begging for forgiveness at this point. Your goal is to be mad. Your goal is for them to understand, listen, you have to honor authority. Because if they don't honor earthly authority, they will not honor their heavenly authority. Why is it important that we teach them to honor their teacher? Not because the teachers are always the greatest, but then their authority in the classroom. Why do we teach them to honor the referee on the court? Trust me, there's some referees that shouldn't be on the court, amen? Okay. Well, you know what? He's the authority on that court. Now, can we keep on? We could. But understand, the way we teach them to honor authority, you love your kid enough to want them to honor God? To teach them to honor authority. Cain directly lied to God. He said, I don't know where he's at. He knew what he had done. He's lying. And when you have to lie about something, you know it's wrong, don't you? And Cain became sarcastic, smart aleck to God. He said, am I my brother's keeper? His heart is hardened. He doesn't fear the Lord. He doesn't care about what the Lord thinks. So what am I? My brother's keeper? God, that's none of my business. He's a big boy. God, why don't you go searching for him? Why don't you take care of him? Notice how one sin led to another sin, led to another sin, led to another sin. Bad worship led to murder ultimately. Led to lying, led to a hardened heart, led to disrespect to God. God says there's more sin laying at the door, waiting for you. A promise about sin, when you deny it, when you justify it, you have excuses for it, when you ignore the sin in your life, it's not going to be eliminated. It's not going to be done away with. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. God will not bless unconfessed sin. You may enjoy your adultery. You may enjoy your pornography. You're going to lose the joy of the Lord. You may enjoy that stolen cash. You're going to lose the peace of God. You may enjoy your negative speech, your gossip. You're going to fail to be fulfilled in Christ. You're not filling his purpose. And God judges Cain. We're going to look at this just real quick. God judges Cain. Look at verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? This is God speaking to Cain. What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground. God makes his knowledge of sin known. God says, I know where you hit the body. See, God had blessed Cain with allowing him to be the tiller of the ground and that he could grow plants. And Cain used God's blessing to hide his sin. Cain cursed God by using God's blessing against him. Now, there will be a day that each of us is going to stand before God. Cain standing before him, each one of us is going to receive a judgment. We'll give an account that if we've been made holy through faith, by faith in Jesus Christ. Have you placed faith in Jesus Christ? He will make you holy. You can't trick God. He knows your heart. And your name must be in the book of life. If you're a believer, we'll also answer to him for how we use the life that he purchased with his holy blood. And guess what? He's already got a reward awarded for you, ready for it to give you for your faithfulness. We also answer now. He's going to bless us today for faithfulness and obedience. He gives joy and he gives peace. He gives purpose to our lives. Well, last thing is Cain's going to face the repercussions. We get to choose our action, but not our punishment, not our repercussion. We don't get to choose the wrath of God. Sometimes we deal with the natural repercussions. A natural repercussion right here for Cain, he no longer has a brother. His brother's dead. That wasn't God's wrath. That was a repercussion of his action. But look at Genesis 4, verse 11. Almost done here. But listen to this. This is God's punishment on him. Verse 11, and now thou art cursed from the ground, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord, look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now I'm not going to break this all down. But Cain lost all of his peace. He lost all of his joy. The punishment was a cursed ground that was already cursed. That he used to shed his innocent blood is going to now be completely cursed for him and no longer give him fruit. It will no longer be good for him. He won't have a home. He has to leave this home because of how he hurt his parents. No one's going to want him around. Would you want this curse around you? Suddenly you move into town and no one's crops will grow? Guess what we're doing? Get out of here. Yeah? That's him. Nobody wants him around. He's got to keep traveling. And he can't grow food of his own, so he's got to keep moving, trying to find pity and beg others. And did you hear Cain's response to his murder, to his sin? Verse 13 says, God, this isn't fair. You see, we're not just living this day today. All the way back to Cain. Oh, Lord, that's not my fault. I'm not that bad. Before a holy God, your little white lie isn't enough to condemn you. He says, Lord, I can't handle this. And paranoia in verse 14, he's afraid everybody's going to kill him. So what did God do? He put a mark on him that nobody could kill him. So now you're going to really be miserable because you're going to be sick of this life and you can't die. By the way, that happens in the book of Revelation. And it's in times of pretty crazy. Yeah. All of this, no repentance ever seen of Cain. Cain shows no attempt to give good offering to God. He just remains an angry, jealous victim. Never getting right with God, never receiving joy or peace. He lives a miserable life. Why? I'm going to show God what's best. I'm going to give God what I want to give. Let us give God what God wants. Hero chapter of the Bible. Listen here. Hebrews 11:4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. If Abel was faithful to God, not because he told us so, but by his works. He was a great example to us still. And Proverbs 28:13 tells us what God wants from us. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. As long as you hide and ignore your sin, God will not bless the way he wants to bless you. As soon as you confess and forsake, God said he not only forgives them, he forgets them. Puts him far from him. God's desire for you, forgive you. All he wants of you is that you confess and forsake him. Would you stay with me? Often the hardest thing for us to do is to admit what we've done. Admit what I'm doing. Say it out loud to the Lord. What God wants from my heart. Not that I point out my spouse's fault. Not that I point out my neighbor's fault. But that I confess my faults. That I bring it to him and say, Lord, this doesn't honor you. This isn't what you asked of me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. So David's cry was, and he finally admitted what he had done. Let me ask you, do you have sins in your life that God knows of? He knows there isn't in life. You haven't realized you even violated him yet. But when he starts pointing out to you, what is your obligation, what is your responsibility? To bow before him and say, Lord, I turn this over to you. We're going to have a time of invitation today. What better way for a church to grow than each one of us? Bow before God, saying, Lord, take this from me. Give me the strength to live a holy life, to walk with you, to honor you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. As you search each one of us, Lord, give us all the boldness and the desire to walk holy lives and turn over to you areas in our lives that do not honor or represent you. ask that you have your way in this time of invitation. In your name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Will you step out?